The new plan to reduce carbon emissions is similar to one that went before voters unsuccessfully a few years ago. But this time, I-1631 has been crafted specifically so the money raised from carbon emitters is collected as a fee rather than a tax. By making that distinction, the money collected can go to specific projects rather than into the state's general fund. I-1631 proponent Nick Abraham says the projects would be investments related to the environment.
With our fee on the largest polluters, these investments are going to go towards clean energy. They're going to go towards energy efficiency, retrofits and insulation for people's homes so they can use less energy, going towards wind and solar projects. But it's also going to go towards natural resource investments. And the idea there is that, one of the best ways we know we can reduce pollution is investing in healthier forests that can pull that pollution out of the air.
The fee would be $15 per metric ton of carbon beginning January 2020 and would increase by $2 per metric ton each year until the state's greenhouse gas reduction goals of 2035 are met. It's estimated the fee would take in about $1 billion per year. But opponents say imposing that fee on industries like gasoline refineries will simply mean higher prices for consumers. Dana Bieber is with the No on 1631 campaign.
And it would force Washington families and consumers and small businesses and farmers to pay billions in higher costs for gasoline and electricity and natural gas, costing the average household $440 a year, and it increases every year.
Bieber cites a study by the group NERA Economic Consulting with the $440 per year estimate. Proponent Nick Abraham takes issue with that study and says that they are a discredited firm whose past work included a study to downplay the health effects of smoking. Abraham cites another study by the Washington Budget and Policy Center that cites an average cost of the proposed carbon fee at $13 a month per household. Critic Bieber has concerns as well about the group that would be appointed to designate which projects the money would go to.
1631 would create this unelected board of political appointees that would be responsible for doling out the money really any way they choose because, again, there's no specified spending plan and they're not accountable to voters.
Proponent Abraham says the concept of an independent board was prompted by concerns that political gridlock would prevent lawmakers from being able to agree on spending priorities.
If we didn't have a board of experts in health and business and science to help them design a policy, then they would just be doing it in a vacuum in a way that we've seen causes political divisiveness over time. So we created a board of these experts and these community leaders to help them design a plan. Now, the legislature still gets to appropriate the money. They still have the power of the purse. But we wanted to create this board to just give them some advice and give them some public accountability.
Another criticism of the plan by Dana Bieber focuses on the fact that several carbon emitters in the state are exempt from the new fee.
23 different industry sectors, large manufacturers, pulp and paper mills, aircraft manufacturers, aluminum and steel companies, and other large emitters get a special exemption, and they don't have to pay the tax. So that, in and of itself, renders the measure ineffective. And what it also does is it pushes all the costs down to small businesses and Washington families who will bear the brunt of this unfair energy tax.
Proponent Nick Abraham explains that one major carbon emitter that's exempted, the Centralia coal-fired generating plant, is actually scheduled to begin to shut down just as the initiative would come into force in 2020. He explains why some other facilities, like steel, aluminum, and cement producers, which sell on the global market, are also exempted.
We really wanted to make sure that these emissions weren't just offshored out of state. We want to make sure that we're not just exporting our emissions. But it's also because, we got to build a whole lot of new infrastructure to get to clean energy. We're going to have to invest in all these things. And we're either going to get our concrete and our steel and our aluminum and all these things we need to build from in-state workers, from companies that are right here, or we're going to have to get that stuff from overseas.
The previous carbon tax initiative in 2016 was defeated by voters with a 59% no vote. I'm Steve Jackson reporting.